Hello and welcome to Sneaker Report, your weekly roundup of all the latest sneaker news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Constantine here, and here is
Becky.
We're at number 45.
Wow.
It's been almost a year since our podcast has been out.
Amazing.
Whoop whoop to us.
What a year it's been.
Absolutely. Remember where we've started on the little desk downstairs in our secondhand department.
Yes.
Reading from printouts.
That's right. Yeah.
And then we've got teleprompter, studio, everything, you know, green screen.
Film crew.
Exactly. All those assistants and the trailer as well. That is just outside of Greater Westminster.
That's right.
Yeah. Just fluffing my face up there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so with this out of the way, let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, Black Friday is coming up.
Or Royal Blue Friday, as we call it.
In England.
No, just in Greater Westminster.
In Greater Westminster? Yeah, we call things different with years.
We like to be different. So that means deals and offers. We do have some very special deals this week. We decided not to make them just on Friday because, to be honest, who's got the time to do all your shopping on a Friday?
Exactly, because we also live stream that day. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
You should be watching it instead of shopping.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. We have some amazing offers this week between the 23rd and the 29th of November. So you have to kind of act fast on those. First up is 15% off all secondhand up to £200. There is no finance available on that option, but if you use the code ROYALBLUE15 on our website, and we'll put all of these in the description box as well, then you can get 15% off your secondhand purchases.
Nice. And there's going to be additional discounts on that stuff. Yeah, so there's a Christmas promotion or winter promotion, they call it, but then additional discounts will be added from Tuesday till Monday next week.
That's right. So also from the 23rd to the 29th, we have £450 off all the Z7 variants, £270 off all the Z6 variants, and £180 off the Z50 variants.
Oh, fantastic. So by the time this podcast is out, actually, those promotions are already valid. So you're welcome to place an order with us. Also, if you're in Europe and the United States, do check your local dealer because they also will have some promotions from Nikon.
They will for sure. We have additional 10% off filters and a few other bits and pieces as well. So check out our website and you'll see all of the deals explained there to take advantage of.
Fantastic. And then also this week, we had a special guest.
Yes.
Who came in and talked to us. His name is Joe McNally, who you all, I think he's well known. I mean, you don't really need to tell who he is, but
no introduction necessary for the great Joe McNally. He came in and did a little interview with us, which was wonderful. He's actually in the UK.
Yeah.
And his wife.
Okay, Joe, well, tell us what you're in England for. I heard you're doing some interesting stuff with Nikon.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, love to be here in London. And I do work pretty closely with Nikon UK or Nikon School UK. We have a couple of wonderful workshop days coming up this week, Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday is sold out. Thursday has a couple of slots, but we're working at this. I can't wait to get there. It's this beautiful, ancient, by American standards, ancient house called Ashridge House, which has these vaulted ceilings and magnificent staircases, enormous windows. It's classic sort of English architecture from, I think, dating back to medieval times.
Incredible.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You are always welcome. And so we have wonderful models and lighting and cameras and lenses. We'll have a Z9. One Z9.
Nice.
You know, and so we'll probably have to have security. I don't know.
You have bouncers on the door, I can tell you. Yeah. Amazing. And then you're also doing an event with Nikon Owner.
Yes.
A virtual event, I believe.
Virtual event on December 4th. And Michael and I are going to chat about, you know, a whole range of topics, I think. So that'll be fun as well.
Excellent. So make sure that you book your slots for Thursday the 25th and also for December the 4th.
And if you'd like to see the full interview with Joe McNally, do tune in next Tuesday on 30th of November to see a full interview. Next one up, Nikon announced the release of Nikko Z28mm f2.8 in modern styling.
Yes, instead of the Retro Special Edition or SE with its chrome waistband, we have a more generic Z-styled 28mm. Optically exactly the same, but very nice to have in the lineup. It's also £50 cheaper.
So tell me about the styling. So what are you more leaning towards? To retro, which costs extra £50, or a modern styling, which is £50 cheaper?
I mean, I always go for the cheaper option if I can, particularly because the optics are good. But I do like that retro style lens. I used it on the ZFC for a couple of weeks, and I've really enjoyed the look of it on that camera specifically. I don't know if it would make a huge difference on a normal Z camera, if you know what I mean, but it matches the ZFC very well.
Yeah, I like your very practical approach. So it's not about the looks, but actually about the functionality. And speaking of functionality, the MFT charts that have been published, they look very good. Mm. A lot of people compare it to 28mm 1.4E lens. That's an issue. And they say the sharpness is very close, but obviously the corners are not the same. And obviously if you compare the size of the two lenses, then of course it is. But it's just astounding to see the lens performance being very close in terms of sharpness and having the price difference, because obviously 28 1.4E lens is quite expensive lens.
Yes, it is terrifically expensive. I wish I'd done that test when I had one in my hands.
Absolutely. But of course, if you're a professional photographer, 28 1.4 has its own place. There's no replacement for this. But it's just interesting to see how much advancement they made over the years.
Truly.
Indeed. Let's move on to Z9 coverage. Now, let's talk about pre-orders first. The funny article came out on Yahoo Japan, which reports a very large number of pre-orders. Their estimate is 700,000 pre-orders of Nikon Z9. I think it's plainly wrong, because 700,000 units were not mentioned anywhere else but the title of the article. And my thinking is, well, they wrote that the price of the camera in Japan, Z9 in Japan, is 689,000 yen with included tax. So I wonder if this 700,000 number came in from the price more than anything else.
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
So very random article, but just lurking through the comments at Nikon Rumors, who picked up this article, there was an interesting comment from a chap called Angspo, and he basically says that Nikon claimed that their last quarterly report in China is now their number one market, all right? So that's number one to remember. So Nikon official online store in China is managed by JD.com. And if you go on that website and if you look at the pre-orders of Z9, they actually publish the numbers, how many times this camera has been pre-ordered.
Wow.
And if you look at the current number is 26,389 units pre-ordered from that dealer. So that means 40K number that came from China could be very close to the figures ordered, but I think it's higher now.
Seriously, 26,389 people have ordered it or looked at the page?
Pre-ordered.
Wow.
And that's from one dealer. Obviously, this is the biggest dealer in China.
26,000. Sorry, I'm in disbelief.
Pretty good, isn't it? So I wonder if the 40K is just for China. Or is it worldwide? Because I don't think that the leftover, you know, is reserved for Europe and United States. So I personally think we're probably now on something like 50, 60K pre-orders, which is an interesting thing. It's also a painful thing, because obviously, hopefully, everyone gets their camera very, very soon, whoever pre-ordered. If you haven't pre-ordered yet, then we would recommend to place your order as soon as possible, because the way it looks is that people will have to wait for quite a lot. We do see in comments saying, I'm not buying it because I would have to wait for too long. Well, if you're not buying it now, when you're ready to buy, you may still need to wait. So the units are coming through, and looking at orders of 105 lens, let's say, for example, or even ZFCs, people who pre-ordered, they got their lenses. But free stock, where you can just walk into the shop and buy the item you want, we probably won't see for quite a while.
Yeah, it's still pretty much non-existent on that front. I mean, I understand the logic of not wanting to part with your cold hard cash, not knowing when the item's going to arrive in your hands, but then be prepared to wait.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's the motto of the Z9 is be prepared to wait.
Yes. And again, it's not very consumer friendly. Unfortunately, it's just not. But that's the way the cookie crumbles at the moment, I'm afraid. I know I'm going to get lots of negative comments in the, you know.
Don't say that.
You know,
you
under
won't.
This. But, you know, I just tend to, you know.
Like we are being realists.
Yes.
Without, I don't want to like push negativity, but we are being realistic.
Exactly. And we've been in this business for quite some time, and with the whole world situation and just reality we live in for last, well, 2 years almost,
two years,
you know, that's affected a lot of industries, and photographic industry is there as well.
Yeah, exactly. So
here we go.
My message to anyone pre-ordering the Z9 is please be kind.
Yes.
Be kind. Spread the love and positivity.
Exactly. I would always say let's have a group hug, but with the COVID restrictions, we should just do it remotely.
Socially distanced.
Speaking of other articles coming from Asia, SheTech published interview with the designers of Nikon Z9 and Z100-400 lenses. While it's all in Chinese and needs to be translated by Google, if you like to have fun reading that and decide why lens was designed with miniaturization design, I guess the size more than anything else, have fun with it.
There's no new information as regards to the Z9, really. A lot of the questions have been asked before. It's worth the scan through if you are genuinely interested in those kind of deeper details about the Z9. The 100 to 400 section, a lot of the time the interviewer was asking, well, when is the tilt shift lens coming out? When is the 400 mil coming out? When is the 600 mil coming out?
And the answer was, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. So there is a little bit of extra information on the development of the lens and how it came to be that it's a 100 to 400 and not an 80 to 400.
Yeah. And that leads us to the segment that we say, why we don't ask random questions from the internet. Here's the answer. For example, interview with Richie. We can't really ask him when Z8 is going to be out because he can't talk about it, even if he does know about it.
But I don't think he does know.
Exactly. He can't answer the question about the pricing of the item because he's not the one who said those items. He can't answer the question that he's not involved in. Richie or another Nikon representative can't give us an answer that they don't have an answer for. That's the thing. And that's the reason why some people think that we don't ask the tough questions. No, we actually do, but we also ask the questions that actually can be answered.
Yes. Otherwise, we get a lot of, sorry, can't answer that. Yes. So in this particular interview, the interviewer asked the question and got the generic answer of, we can't talk about future products. However, we listen to all feedback, which was a nice, good copy and paste staple answer to a lot of the questions about future developments of lenses. But in that interview, there is some information about the 100 to 400's development. So do have a look at that if you're interested. We do have another article, which is actually published by Nikon on the Z9 supported memory cards. So if you are wondering if your existing memory cards will be compatible with the Z9, then go and have a look at that.
Absolutely. A lot of people are seriously considering what memory card they should get. Delkin Black Card is supposed to be the best one. It's also been sold out for quite some time. So it's always, I guess, good to pre-order your memory cards, especially if you want to go for the best ones now. So by the time they arrive, you may have Z9 as well in hand.
Yeah, unofficially, I can say that Delkin sold 12 weeks worth of memory card products in 2 weeks because of the launch of the Z9.
Because of Rishi.
Yeah, so they're making more now, and we should get some more in stock very, very soon.
Absolutely. The next one up, also Nikon published a brochure for Nikon Z9.
I like how it's called Unstoppable.
So if you'd like to have a look at beautifully produced brochure on Nikon Z9, do hit the link in the description below. Now, let's go to some tests. So Mark Granger published a video where he compares Nikon RAW formats. Remember, they now have full RAW lossless compress, and they also have high efficiency RAW. So for some of you who really want to see what's the difference is, do watch this video as well.
So according to B&H, the shipping date for the Z9 in the US is December 15th.
Okay, but since you deal with all those things, do you have any update for us, UK viewers?
I can tell you that we have no news. The news is that there is no official shipping date for the Z9 in the UK. The only sort of one piece of information I can say is that it is supposed to ship before the end of the year.
So December. Yeah. Okay. Well, we will keep asking you every week. So hopefully we'll have an update with, for you next week as well.
Please stop asking me.
All right, speaking of Z9 release, Nikon also published a compatibility list of their software packages for Windows 11. Windows 11 has been out, I think, or not, for quite some time. So if you...
it may or may not have been out for some little time.
But if you may or have not downloaded it and installed it on your computer, then you definitely want to check out their compatibility list because, obviously, you don't want to use software packages that won't work. So the advice there generally is wait for 3 months, let all the bugs be ironed out with the patches, and then maybe upgrade. So let's say I haven't upgraded my phone to iOS 15.
I did.
Yeah, I haven't upgraded to the latest macOS system as well.
I did.
And how's it going for you, Becky?
It's actually okay. Most things seem to be working.
Just a brick. Can't use it.
It's useless now. Yeah. No, there's a few oddities that take some getting used to. And I often wonder why they make these bigger changes. Mm-hmm. Why is it necessary? I just got used to how my phone works and now it's different.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, it's hopefully for the better.
Yeah, I think my problem with all this is like when they add the changes, which are, let's say, different flicks or different way you do the same thing, or they add the widgets that I didn't ask for. So that confused me because then I'm in the situation where it's like, okay, I need to go and learn how to use this piece of hardware that I had for a year.
Well, I tell you, one of the main things is that the search bar for the browser is at the bottom of the screen instead of the top now, because, you know, the screen is so big that some people obviously found it difficult to stretch their thumbs. Okay. See what I'm doing. And they have a new mode called focus. So instead of, so everything, including do not disturb, sleep mode, driving mode, are all under the one banner of focus.
You know, I agree that it's actually all great improvements and everything. Yeah. It's just like the older I become, the lazier I become. They're like, I don't want to learn new things. I just want to use what I'm used to.
Yes.
You know? So that's like, it's the same with the Lightroom and masks, where, you know, the new update introduced all these new masks and they removed a couple of icons on top and they all put it all together.
I'd like to learn how to use those, actually.
They're pretty good and they're really good, but it just requires me. I was like, okay, I need to book the evening and just go through and learn how to use it. So yes. I don't like the change.
No.
Unless it's Z9.
Unless it's Z9, exactly, which is a change that we all welcome. So, good. A bit of non-hardware related Nikon news. Nikon was selected for Global ESG Index, Dow Jones Sustainability Indices, DJSI World, and DJSI Asia Pacific for the fourth consecutive year.
Fantastic. We talked actually about it on one of our first podcasts. So that's pretty good that they keep getting this inclusion every year. So that means they're improving their business, being basically sustainable and being good to the nature.
Exactly. Just to remind those of you who don't know what the Dow Jones Sustainability Indices are.
No one knows.
So essentially, it's a benchmark for investors to know that the business that they're investing in is a sustainable business.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell. Yeah. So the fact that Nikon have been voted for the fourth year running, or selected, I should say, for the fourth year running at that global index is a very, very good sign indeed.
Yeah, I think it's very prestigious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well done then.
All right, let's go to some hardware news, but third-party hardware news. This one is very dear to me. Company 4.dix released a ProFusion Mimir 7 to Nikon Z Smart Adapter.
Ooh.
Did I tell anyone that I have my Mir 7?
Yes, I think you've mentioned it once or twice.
Yeah. So just everyone knows I have my Mir 7. So it's a little camera. It's called my Mir 7 and I have it.
Mm-hmm. So they have launched this new Fusion Smart Adapter, which is similar to the GFX version. It's $499, that's in dollars, so $499.
Bit mark.
And it means that they can you can adapt, Con.
I can adapt specifically. Myself. I can see myself in their press release.
Yeah, adapt your Mamiya 7 lenses for Nikon Z cameras. Some of the highlights are that it mounts them and gives you infinity focus or beyond guaranteed.
That's great.
It's great that it mounts them.
Yeah, and actually you can focus it. That's amazing.
It's awesome. Yeah. They have this built-in fusion technology which enables electronic communication and control between the lens and camera.
Fuses the lens and adapter and the camera together.
Something like that. It does allow for some automated functions such as aperture control with compatible lenses.
Oh, that's really good actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's a precise fit, solid all-metal construction, chrome-plated brass mounts, secure solid, no play, gap or wiggle.
No.
So nice and firm. And then it does also come with a limited 2-year warranty.
Since it's $499, if anyone watches us from 4.dix and would like to send me an adapter for testing, you know where to find us. Email us at media@grayservicemeister.com. All right, the next one is a sad one.
Sad, sad day. Fujicolor 100 24 exposures and Fujicolor Superior Premium 400.
Weirdly specific.
Yes.
It has been discontinued.
Very sad.
It's no more. If you'd like to know when it's going to be discontinued, it's going to be sometime next year. It's not a professional film. It's probably very similar to something like Color Gold.
I will say, though, if it is one of your favorite films, if you just cannot live without your Fujicolor 100, we went to Analog Wonderland a few weeks ago, and our little tour actually went live on our YouTube channel on Sunday. If you haven't caught that yet, Paul does say you can buy film in large batches and store it in your freezer, and it almost completely stops the degradation process.
Absolutely. And just like me, if you want to defrost it, you move it from the freezer to the fridge for some time, and then you move it out from the fridge. Mm. And then it's ready to use. So we're expecting them to be discontinued in January 2022 for Fujicolor 100 and Fujicolor Superior will be discontinued. In March 2022, Fuji recommends Fujicolor 100 and Fujicolor Superior Premium 436 shots as a replacement for those films.
I mean, you get more shots for your buck, so it's not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. One thing I have about Fuji is they keep discontinuing their films and they keep increasing the price on their films. Yeah. Well, Kodak, Virginia was staying the same. I know they're increasing their prices next year, but we only see the increase in demand for film photography nowadays. So I personally think it's not the right strategy for Fuji, but obviously us sitting on the table here, not running a corporation, what we know, but I personally think that as with vinyl, we've seen a bit of resurgence, more film being sold nowadays.
It'd be nice if it was a little bit more affordable.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
The next one up, what I call it, is Amazon Envisla. The reason for that is because I have a Envisla puppy. But actually, it's Amazon and Visa. They've been in cahoots over Visa, increasing their processing fee and for the credit card transactions. And Amazon's saying, well, we're not going to accept Visa cards anymore from January 2022. Now, maybe it's not a very photographic related, but I thought our UK viewership should know about that.
Yeah, it's quite useful to know that you won't any longer be able to use your Visa card in order to pay for things on Amazon, considering that Amazon is a massive company and people do admittedly buy accessories,
yes, photographic things exactly.
From that place owned by
Amazon,
Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos.
From our mate Jeff.
It always makes me excited to watch giants fighting over millions. I mean, they're all billion-dollar companies and everything, but they fight with each other.
Like Godzilla and King Kong.
Exactly. Or Apple and Epic.
Yeah.
And the whole Fortnite thing. Mm-hmm. So definitely buy a popcorn, you know.
Just sit there, sit back, relax, have some popcorn and watch the drama unfold.
Absolutely. For people who don't know, actually, in UK, all the credit card processing fees were capped at 0.3%. That was a European Union thing. From January next year, European laws no longer apply because of the Brexit. So Visa is increasing their processing fees to 1.5%. I believe MasterCard also will do the same thing, but for some reason, Amazon will accept MasterCard, maybe because it's because of the credit card that they have, you know, the Amazon MasterCard credit card. Wow, that rolls over the tongue.
It really so, does.
Yeah, so very interesting thing. So obviously we're starting to increase our processing fees. In the United States, the processing fees are between 2 and 5% as well, so which is much higher than the UK. But it's just an interesting development. It's very interesting to see what the future holds for us. Next up, we have reviews.
Yeah, so first we have Yasushi Sukagawa from Nikon Japan introducing the 100 to 400 VR. He's a railroad photographer. So do go and check that out if you like 100 to 400s and railroads.
Absolutely. It's in Japanese, but just it's interesting to see the train recognition or vehicle recognition by 100 to 400. Yeah. So for some of you who are train enthusiasts, I believe Joe McNally is one of them.
Yes.
It will be interesting to watch. And then the next one, we also have 24 to 120F4 review by Taylor Jackson. Overall, he likes it. And if you want to learn more, do check out his channel.
Yeah. Then we have the 40mm F2Z, which is that little mini lens, a companion to the 28mm. That's been reviewed with samples by Christopher Frost. So that's worth having a look at.
Absolutely. Christopher Frost puts out a lot of great Nikon content where he reviews a lot of equipment and compares it with other brands as well. So I would recommend you to look at it. If Christopher Frost watches us...
We can hope. If Christopher Frost watches us, which would be nice, then we would love to have a chat.
Absolutely. And then let's move on to Weekend Read and Watch. Now, Becky and Con continue our North American tour. And this time we speak to Ryan Troy.
Yes. So we did a lovely interview with Ryan on his channel. And
finally.
Yes, which was a great little collaboration. He asked us some very interesting questions. And even a few, I think, regular viewers to our channel said that they'd learned some things about us they didn't know.
Yeah, that's true. I was surprised by that. But the thing is, we genuinely not being interviewed very often. So we always talk, you know, between us. And sometimes it's always interesting to see kind of a third party kind of look at what we say. So definitely, if you want to learn more about Z8, Z9 and our opinions about it, do check him out.
You can add the Analog Wonderland Tour to your Weekend Read and Watch segment because that video is now live and we will have another video out this coming weekend on the new firmware updates for the Z6 and Z7. So make sure that you have hit that little bell icon if you haven't done that already when you've subscribed.
Fantastic. And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much for watching and or listening. Please give us a like and a subscribe if you're on YouTube or perhaps a follow and maybe even a review if you're listening on a podcast platform.
Oh, that's true. That would be nice. I think we have 5 reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you can leave a little bit more, that would be great as well.
Because amazing.
that just opens us up to a lot more people. So people discover things, you know, they're like, they're photographers and they take pictures and they love Nikon at the same time. Let's listen to them.
Exactly. And then if you'd like to find us outside of the podcasts, but on the internet.
Yeah, we are also on Instagram. I'm at Konstantin Kochkin and Becky is?
Rebecca_Danese.
All right, well, we will see you this Friday for the live stream and we will see you next Monday for the new Nikon Report with more news on Nikon.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.